Well, good morning. I appreciate everyone's attendance this morning. Thank you, Sam, for that scripture reading. I know it was a rather lengthy one, but I believe one that will help set the tone as we study and search the scriptures this morning. I will admit, if you do hear a knocking sound, it's not either one of the air conditioners, it's my knees, since I've not been up here in a while, so just bear with me. Nothing is wrong with the air conditioning units. But I do encourage you each to take your Bibles out and follow along as we study the scriptures this morning. If you'll turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 20 there. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, Peter here writes, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 we read there, Paul writing to Timothy says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." But the first half of that verse there, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable." So I put up here, we often ask the question, can we understand the Bible alike? And that used to be the question that was asked for a long time. What we want to look at this morning is why. And it's not too much different, but I think it would be good to go through and look at this. Why should we understand the Bible alike? There's a whole lesson that we can do around, can we understand the Bible alike? We'll save that for another time. But why should we? Why should we understand the Bible alike? What benefit do we get out of that? We see that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, as we just read in a couple of scriptures. And of course, we also see in the second half there of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that not only is all Scripture given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It makes us complete. So can we understand the Bible alike? We ask that question in view of the divisions among the religious world. Well, many today have changed the question to, why should we understand the Bible alike? And it's a reflection, as we have here, of postmodernism, a philosophy that basically all religious views and doctrines are equally valid and true. That different people can and should understand the Bible differently. There are scriptural answers that need to be provided to questions like this. Does God expect us to understand the Bible, His inspired Word, alike? What does God expect of us? Why should we understand the Bible alike? That's what we want to investigate this morning, brethren, through the Scriptures. So let's do that. Our first point is, we can understand God's Word. Well, you might be going, well, duh, Nathaniel, we know that. But let's use the Scriptures. God has made His Word understandable. Go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Beginning in verse 11 there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Beginning in verse 11. I've got to give myself a little note here. I'm going to look down at my notes and I won't know where I'm at. So I've got to give myself a marker here. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 11. It reads, "For this commandment which I commanded you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. God made his word available and understandable, and we see that, even in this example of the Old Testament. If we go back to the book of Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 6, we see Paul writing to the Roman brethren said, Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Can we understand God's word? He made it available and understandable. Yes, we can. We also see that we are all to, a common understanding results when we read God's word. Go over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Again, Paul writing to the Ephesian brethren says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it now has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." A common understanding results when we read the Scriptures. Go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. It reads, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Well, if he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, why would he make it so hard to understand? The same. He wouldn't. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Would he say that if it was so difficult to understand it the same way? Well, of course not. We see that it is possible. Go back to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. It reads, "Also Jeshua, Bani, Sarabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kilita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place." What does it say in verse 8? "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." They helped them to understand. Another example, go to Acts chapter 8, back in the New Testament. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Philip and the eunuch here. "Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now when they went down the road they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" We're commanded to understand the will of the Lord. How do we get that? Through the reading of the scriptures. Through God's word. We can understand God's word alike. It is there. There are examples of it. Well, that brings us then to point number two. We are to understand the Bible alike. But what do we mean when we say that? Well, the first is, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, that we are to speak the same thing. the same, be of the same mind, be of the same judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Their problem was they weren't. There were divisions among them. And there shouldn't have been. We need to be that way today as far as speaking the same thing, being of the same mind, being of the same judgment. We also see in the Scriptures, if you'll be turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, that all are to observe the same limits of sound doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 reads, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." We can't go beyond what is written in the Scriptures. If we think beyond that, what happens? Well, that's how so many different denominations begin. That's how sin begins to creep in. When we're not united and thinking, here is what the Scriptures teach. Turn back to 2 John 9, 10, and 11. 2 John, beginning of verse 9, it reads, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." We all need to be observing the same limits of sound doctrine. That's how we can understand the Bible alike. We need to have the same doctrine and the same faith given to every congregation of God's people, isn't it? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." It wasn't that Paul went to Ephesus and taught one thing and then went over to Corinth and taught something different. He taught the same thing in every congregation. That's how we're to understand the Bible of like. And no congregation or individual has the right or is authorized to teach, practice, or let alone tolerate any error that will condemn men before God. And then finally, with this point of we are to understand the Bible alike, in John 17, 20 and 21. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus here says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." We fulfill Jesus' prayer for unity by understanding the Bible alike. Well, let's talk about, there's different rationales for tolerating different understandings of Bible doctrine. Some say, well, let's just agree to disagree. Is that the right thing to say? What about, everyone thinks differently. You know, Nathaniel, you just think about that a little bit differently. And that's okay. Well, they're sincere brethren, and they just see things differently. Is that the right statement? Is that what God expects in the previous 2 points that we just looked at? Absolutely not. Some might say, well, what difference does it make what we believe? As long as you're saved, you can go to heaven. Oh, we can have unity in diversity. We hear that a lot these days, don't we? Or unity without uniformity is something that we've heard in the past. And even in business today, it's becoming very, very popular, diversity and inclusion. Some say that, well, there's a rationale for tolerating different understandings of the Bible because there's a lack of clarity in what the Bible teaches. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. Well, let's go back to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all these epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. There's not a lack of clarity in what the Bible teaches. There may be things hard to understand, but we can definitely understand them alike. Some say, well, there's historical precedents. Back to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. There's historical precedents, and, you know, this is the way it's always been done, you might say. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15 reads, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Sometimes we have to be cautious with those things. People say, oh, well, this is the way we've always done it. And then I'll run back to this scripture and say, well, see, Paul told the Thessalonians it was all right, that we can hold to our traditions. Well, they use that as at least as a rationale to justify it. What about Romans 14? Well, it's just a matter of opinion. Back over there, Romans chapter 14. Beginning in verse 3. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems another day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And then we've already looked at 2 John 9 through 11. Sometimes people will use that as a rationale. What's another one? Well, sometimes individuals say there's a distinction between gospel and doctrine. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Paul here talking to Timothy, in verse 8 he says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate. And then in verse 10, that he continues the list and says, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. People will say, well, there's a difference. Therefore, we can understand the Scriptures differently. And sometimes individuals will say, and we've already read through this example, but church and individual autonomy. Some of the rationales that the world uses for tolerating different understandings of the Bible. Well, let's look at one final point this morning. Why is there religious division? Why don't we understand the Bible alike? Well, there's certainly false standards of authority. If we go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So individuals will take their own thoughts and develop their own doctrines out of that, their own teachings, and say, similar to what the Pharisees did. Oh, this is what you need to do. They'll add to, they'll take away. And it becomes a doctrine of men. But yet they teach it as doctrine. Another false standard of authority, if we go back to Exodus chapter 23, is majority rule. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Let's just start at verse 1 in the beginning of the chapter. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Just because everybody said this is the right thing to do doesn't necessarily make it right. You know, the old adage, and probably all of us have told our children at this some point, well, if everybody else jumped off a building, would you do it too? Well, no. How much more so in spiritual things, in doctrinal things? Just because everybody else is doing it. Well, this is what all we see a lot of congregations doing these days. They're doing this. So what? Does that make it right? Majority rule is a false standard of authority. And sometimes, if you'll be turning to Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, we have to be very cautious about our emotions, even the zeal that we have and the sincerity of which we go through and do something. You imagine that? Man, we could be so sincere. Well, Paul was. He was very sincere about what he was doing, and what was he doing? He was persecuting Christians, wasn't he? Because he thought and wholeheartedly believed that that was the right thing to do. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. It says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They were ignorant of God's righteousness. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, they submitted not to the righteousness of God. They had a zeal. But it was the wrong type, the wrong kind. So we have to be cautious of that. That's a false standard of authority. And that can create division very, very easily. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. Go back a few chapters. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. It reads, "And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we also slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just." Just because good comes about doesn't mean that we do something that is contradictory to God's law. The outcome, we might say, the outcome does not justify the means of getting there. Just because results are achieved does not mean that that becomes now a standard of authority. If we offered, you know, taped a $100 bill under everybody's seat, could we fill the building? Yes, I guarantee we probably could. That's a good thing, right? Yeah, but is that authorized in Scriptures? Is that seeing God's Word alike? Well, of course not. There's no authority for that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It reads, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Unity is lacking where there is not a common goal of seeking Bible authority for all we say and all we do. Command, example, necessary inference. You know, as we say, the book, the chapter, the verse for what we do has to be there. If it isn't, then we run the risk of religious division. And of course, a wedge of division is driven by those who introduce unauthorized teaching and activities. Turn back to the Old Testament to 1 Kings, if you would. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 17. It reads, "Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals.'" Boy, he didn't beat around the bush with him on that, did he? Elijah just called Ahab out on it. "No, it's not me that's troubling, it's you. You're not doing the right things." When we introduce unauthorized teachings and activities, it creates religious division. So why should we understand the Bible alike as we bring this lesson to a close? Well, we want unity with God. That's why we should understand the Bible alike. We also want unity within the body of Christ, the church. That's why we should understand the Bible alike. And because we desire a hope of eternal life. If we don't understand the Bible alike, how can we all expect to get to the same destination? Be turning, if you will, to one final verse. It was read in the scripture reading, Acts chapter 28 and verse 24. And then the lesson will be yours. Acts 28, verse 24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. In what the scripture reading that Sam read for us in that entire context there, everyone heard it, but not everyone understood it alike. There were differences. And as we study with our friends and neighbors and maybe even our family members, isn't that what we see? Sometimes they don't understand the Bible alike. We have to teach our children so that as they grow and as us parents get older, that they can stand faithful and understand the Bible alike. Because Satan is never giving up. Not only can we understand the Bible alike, but we must understand the Bible alike. If we're to obey God's will and defend the faith against the false doctrines of men, if we understand the Bible at all, it needs to be alike. Why do divisions exist in the religious world? It is because of the attitudes towards truth. And we all, even us here this morning, diligently doing the Lord's will, have to be cautious against that because Satan is always after us. Do you believe what God has revealed in the Scriptures? Do we understand the Bible alike? Do those that we are studying with understand the Bible alike? Let us work towards that. To go to heaven, an individual must hear, believe, repent, be baptized for the remission of their sins, heed the warnings of God, study, abstain from fleshly lusts, worship regularly in spirit and in truth, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, deal with one's sins appropriately, and be faithful unto death. We just didn't have enough time to go through all of the scriptures. But you've probably heard these before. Brethren, if there are those in the assembly this morning that have never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come forward and do so this morning. If there are those who have obeyed the gospel, but have fallen away, and maybe you don't understand the Bible alike, whatever the case may be, and you need someone to study with you, won't you come forward and make your life right as we stand and as we sing.
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I place my love on you, I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your face, show your mercy and your grace, change my life, O Spirit, make me fresh and never new. Make my life a holy sacrifice to you.
Thank you, Nathaniel. Very good lesson, very thought-provoking. We're so thankful for all of our visitors. We pray that you'll come back and be with us when you can. And we hope that you'll be having a very safe trip back to your destination as that plan unfolds. A lot of people mentioned in our announcements today. Let's be praying for all of our members, those that are sick, that have been mentioned. I believe Sister Pat sent out a note about a preacher that has fallen ill. We need to remember him as well. There's a lot of parents here. Let's pray for them. It's kind of a tough world that we live in. And let's pray for Carl and Patricia. It's a long time between now and then until they get here. A lot of things can happen in the rigmarole that the government puts in front of us at times. So let's pray for them. Brother George, I think, are leading us in a prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us here together this morning, allowing us to hear from your word. And we're so thankful that we're able to do that. We're so thankful for Christ, our Savior, that we have an opportunity to follow in his footsteps, to obey him and his commands and your commands, that we would have a chance to be with you in heaven someday. We ask that you would help us in our walk of life. We ask that you help us do what is right in your sight, and you would comfort us during our times of trouble as well. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are not able to be here for illnesses. We pray that you would heal them if it is your will. We pray that you be with those who are traveling on roads, that you would guide them safely to their destination. Lord, we thank you for our visitors. We ask that you would help them as they travel, and we ask that you would help us to comfort them and to encourage them as they have done so for us. Lord, we again thank you for your love and for your kindness and your mercy, and we ask that you be with us as we go and depart this afternoon. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Appreciate your lesson.